Let all the earth be silent before the Lord our God. Though we accuse him of being far off, he is our shepherd. Though we trust in our efforts, he is our salvation. Though we deny him, he is our peace. When death loomed before him, he did not look for an escape. When he was wrongfully accused, he did not seek vindication. When the wrath of God was upon him, he bore it unto death. Who is like him in all the earth? Where else can hope be found? Our Father, as we prepare to worship, teach us to forsake our self-preserving and self-exalting thoughts. We need to be saved in the name of the one who gave himself over to death to defeat it. He is Jesus, our perfect sacrifice and the light of the world. We look to him. Amen.
Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd stood there and heard it, and said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of the world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of the light." When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them.
Holy Tuesday is primarily observed as the last day of a special service series known as the Service of the Bridegroom in the Eastern Orthodox tradition. This extends from Palm Sunday evening to Holy Tuesday evening. The name of the service is in reference to the figure of the bridegroom in the parable of the 10 virgins, referenced in Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Jesus is that bridegroom, and he loves the church as his bride. As the apostle testifies, "Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish." That's Ephesians 5:25-27. God in himself bore a beautiful salvific story recorded throughout the Old Testament and culminating in the incarnation, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, the bridegroom. Jesus was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. He is life, and his life is the light of men. He shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome him. John 1:1-5. Isaiah foretold of Jesus and the redemption of his bride. "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with all the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, as a bride adorns herself with jewels." Isaiah 61:10. Isaiah also told of our bridegroom's saving work in his death. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Behold, this is our God, we have waited for him, that he might save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Isaiah 25:8-9. And when our bridegroom finally arrived in the flesh, he foretold of his own death to his disciples. And Jesus said to them, Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will feast. Matthew 9:15. Jesus, for the joy set before him, Hebrews 12:2, knew that he'd be completing the work of giving himself up for the eternal life of his bride in union to himself. The Lord has already fulfilled our need for rescue and union with God in the death and resurrection of our bridegroom, Revelations 19:6-9. And we are made sure of this as we look into the face of God in Christ. The bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so God rejoices over us, Isaiah 62:5. However, in the tradition of Holy Week, his death and resurrection have not yet come. And so we, as the bride, say come, and let the one who hears say come, and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me rest in fields of green. He brings my soul into its place in paths.
Jesus, our Lord, has died for us. He has gone down into your death, and he invites you to participate in him there. Follow him to that place and find your resurrection there.